This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. My dearest brothers and sisters, I wanted to share with you a short story of a great man, a companion nonetheless of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Somebody who I'm sure that maybe no one here has heard of his story before, but in his story there's a amazing, incredible lesson to do with redemption, turning your life around, righting your wrongs, and looking away from your mistakes to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The name of this individual is Abdullah ibn Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala an. He was one of the earliest to become a Muslim at a time where the persecution was at the highest level in Mecca, where the Quraysh were doing their worst upon the Muslims. Think about Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, slave. His master, when he found out that he had converted, would lie him out on the scorching sand, whip him to try to force him to apostate. And he would refuse. And then he would place a huge rock on his chest, squashing him. And yet he would say, Ahadun Ahad, the one and only, the one and only, referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During these times, Abdullah ibn Sa'd remained steadfast. In fact, he had a badge of honor because he was one of the few men who could read and write. And as a result, he became a scribe of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Katibur Rasul, an honor that only 40 men during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam enjoyed. And so you can imagine, he would get to sit in private with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, listening to him recite the Quran and writing it down on parchment. Private time, alone time. What an honor. On top of that, he had another honor, which was that his half brother was Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala an. Through breastfeeding, he established this bond with Uthman, and he was like a good friend of his. All throughout the Meccan era, he remained a Muslim, and even he migrated with the Muslims to live in Medina. And as things got better for the Muslims, less persecution, more freedom, more unity, more strength, it is very strange to hear that Abdullah ibn Sa'd had a change of heart. Crisis of faith, people would say today. And he left Islam. In fact, he left Islam and left the Muslims and went back to Mecca to live with his old comrades, the Quraysh, embracing idol worship once again. And to make matters worse, he started to insinuate, make up lies about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, "Do you know that man, Muhammad? He tells us to write the Quran as he wishes to say it." A'udhu billah min dhalik. Insinuating that the Quran is not really the word of Allah. And those lies, they were used as propaganda against the Muslims. It was devastating for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to hear that someone like Abdullah ibn Sa'd apostate. It was devastating on Uthman to hear that his half-brother and friend had left the fold of Islam, on top of that, to try to undermine the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with these lies. And now we fast forward. In the 8th Hijri year, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrives at Mecca at the head of an army of 10,000 to liberate it. Fathul Mecca is about to occur. And though he tells the Quraysh, "I will say to you, like Yusuf alayhi salam said to his brothers, 'La tathriba alaykum al-yawm,' there will be no blame on you today, and everyone will be forgiven," there is a blacklist. A list of names of people whose crimes are so great they must be killed on sight. The names of individuals such as Wahshi, who had killed Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an, the name of Hind, and then the name of Abdullah ibn Sa'd. Not for apostating per se, but for making up these lies against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the Quran. And so, as they're about to enter, Abdullah ibn Sa'd has a decision to make. Does he flee like everybody else on the blacklist, or does he stay and try to fix things? He comes to Uthman ibn Affan. He says, "Oh my brother, help me out. Go to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and tell him I want to become a Muslim again and I repent from everything that I have done." Uthman ibn Affan, he listens to him, feels sorry for him. He wants to help him. So what he does is he takes his hand and he comes out in public and he goes towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is surrounded by his companions, and everyone turns to look and see, what is this man, Abdullah ibn Sa'd, coming? Doesn't he know what's going to happen to him? They are outraged that this person could be so bold to stay around. Before anyone could speak, Uthman, he raises his voice and he says, "Ya Rasulallah, with me is Abdullah ibn Sa'd. He wishes to give you bay'ah and to repent from what he has done." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns to look at the both of them and he does not say anything. He refuses to put out his hand to accept the bay'ah. Uthman ibn Affan, he asks a second time, and then a third time, and each time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ignores them. And at that moment, you can imagine how Uthman must have felt, seeing that I am upsetting the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, trying to stick up for my friend. And how Abdullah ibn Sa'd must have felt, thinking, I made a wrong decision. I shouldn't have been so brave. I should have ran with everybody else. Uthman, he knew that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rahmatul lil alamin, he is the mercy to the world. And he wanted to be a good friend to Abdullah ibn Sa'd. And so he asked a final time, "Ya Rasulullah, here's Abdullah ibn Sa'd. He wants to give you bay'ah and repent from what he has done." And at that fourth time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam extends his hand. And Abdullah ibn Sa'd, he reaches for it, gives him bay'ah. And Uthman almost cries out of joy. The two of them turn around and they walk off. Then the Prophet ﷺ turns to his companions and he says something very interesting. "Ama minkum rajulun rashid." Was there not a single man amongst you smart enough? Meaning smart enough to know what I initially wanted to do. Do you understand? He's saying, initially, my verdict was, no, you must be killed. And the companion said, "Ya Rasulullah, why did you not give us an indication with your eyes to gesture and to say, do with him what I think you should do with him?" At that point, the Prophet ﷺ said something incredible. He said, "Innahu la yanbaghi li nabiyyin an takuna lahu kha'inatul a'yun." He said, "It is not befitting for the Messenger of Allah to deceive a man with his eyes." Allahu Akbar. He's holding himself up to such a high standard of character and manners that even in that moment, in a position of power and authority, he is not going to abuse the right of another person, even a criminal for that matter. Amazing. And so, his bay'ah was sound, accepted, tawbah accepted. And I want you to think about, how does that act of mercy from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and kindness impact the heart of the recipient? If you were Abdullah ibn Sa'd, how would you have felt? You would be amazed by the quality and of the conduct, the manners. And this would then open your heart towards that person and spur you on to make a change, to come through on your word, to be better. And that is what Allah says, when somebody is rude to you, idfa' billati hiya ahsan. Return that unkindness with kindness. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةً كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Allah says, and you will see if you treat people like that, then the one between you and him was enmity will become like your close friend. Allahu Akbar. Sometimes when people are rude, if you respond with rudeness, it only makes matters worse. But if you flip the script and act with kindness, then they're like, you know what, I should be like this person. Such kindness. And so Abdullah ibn Sa'd, Imam al-Nawawi said, فَحَسَّنَهُ إِسْلَامَهُ, that he made good on his Islam. He rectified himself. He did not ever return to the crimes he had done before, and he only looked ahead. In fact, in later years, the Prophet والسلام, passes away. Abu Bakr becomes a Khalifa. He passes away. Umar becomes a Khalifa. He passes away. And then Uthman ibn Affan becomes the Khalifa. Amirul Mu'mineen. And in his position of power, he comes to Abdullah ibn Sa'ad. He says, you are a seasoned warrior. Why don't you take a position in the army, become a general? Abdullah ibn Sa'ad accepts the offer. And under his leadership and command, many North African countries that we visit today as Muslim countries were opened under his command. In fact, the south of Sudan was originally conquered by Abdullah ibn Sa'ad. Allahu Akbar. Amazing. And then when Uthman ibn Affan was assassinated, died as a shaheed, Abdullah ibn Sa'ad said to himself, I no longer want nothing to do with public life, nothing to do with position. He removed himself from the army and then started to live in Ramallah, in Palestine. And there he lived quietly, worshipping Allah and leading the salah in the masjid. And Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah says, he used to have this dua he used to make often. Allahumma ja'al khatimata amali salat al-subh. Oh Allah, make my final deed the Fajr Salah. And Imam al-Dhahabi said, it is reported that Abdullah ibn Sa'ad came to the masjid for Fajr. He led people in Salah and he said, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, and Allah the Almighty took his soul. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. The last deed he did was the one he made dua for. And think about this. The Prophet ﷺ told us, كُلُّ عَبْدٍ يُبْعَثُ عَلَى مَا مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ. Every slave will be resurrected doing the last deed that they performed. Allahu Akbar. He will be resurrected on the day of judgment like someone in their salah. Allahu Akbar. May Allah grant us a beautiful ending. Allahumma inna nas'aluka husna al-khatima. Oh Allah, we ask you for a beautiful ending. But what does this story teach us? It teaches us that no one goes too far away from Allah except that they can turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A beautiful lesson on redemption. We ask Allah for tawfiq. Wa qulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'il muslimin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. I think one of the takeaways from this story is many of us, if not all of us, we have truly underestimated the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doubts have crept into our minds that sometimes we perform, do shameful things and we think, you know what, it is the end for me now. I'm a hypocrite now. There's no way that I can redeem myself. But I'm sure no one here has done what Abdullah ibn Sa'ad had done. No one here, inshallah, has apostated. No one here has insinuated something against the Prophet ﷺ. And yet, why do we doubt that we can turn back to Allah, the Almighty? قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah says, say to those who have wronged their own selves, done things to harm their own selves. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Never despair of the mercy of Allah. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Allah forgives all sins. And Imam Ibn Kathir, he said, the sins Allah is mentioning here include even kufr. If a person were to disbelieve in Allah, عِيَاذٍ بِاللَّهِ and then come back to Allah with repentance, Allah would forgive them, and that is a guarantee from Allah. Allahu Akbar. And even more than that, Allah tells in Surah Furqan that there are people who have committed such crimes like shirk, to worship others besides Allah, murder, zina, and then Allah says, يُضَاعَفْ لَهُمُ الْعَذَابِ that the punishment will be doubled for those people. إِلَّا except مَنْ تَابَ who repent, وَآمَنَ and believe, وَعَامِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا and then move ahead in their life doing righteous deeds. What does Allah say about them? فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ Allah will change their sins into good deeds. Allahu Akbar. Will convert all of the wrong they have done into hasanat on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. How merciful is Allah the Almighty. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, لو يعلم الكافر ما عند الله من الرحمة لم ييأسه من الجنة. If the disbeliever understood the extent of Allah's mercy, even he would think he's going to paradise. Subhanallah. And so what we should do then is never doubt in Allah's mercy. But we should ask ourselves, why do we neglect to say sorry to Allah? Why do we neglect to make istighfar? Why are we so begrudging to raise our hands, to humble ourselves, and to ask for Allah's forgiveness? It is kibr in the heart, and we ask Allah to remove it from our heart. Allahumma ameen. The Prophet ﷺ told us that every day, he said, I astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. I seek Allah's forgiveness and repent to Him more than 70 times. Subhanallah. More than 70 times. What does that show us? It shows us that whenever we commit a small sin, look at something we shouldn't, hear something we shouldn't, the immediate reaction should be astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. Until we become from the awwabun. You know who are the awwabun? Allah says, Inna Allah yuhibbu tawwabin. Allah loves those who are in the habit of coming back to Him, in the habit of seeking His forgiveness. Not that you do it every Ramadan once or every Friday once, but every day, in every moment that you slip up, your instinct and your habit is to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to seek His forgiveness. I mentioned to you that one of the men on the blacklist was also Wahshi. Wahshi ibn Harb was the man who had killed Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an. And he didn't stay around like Abdullah ibn Sa'd. He fled. He went to Taif, thinking that he would be safe. He knew what he had done. Killed the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, who was like a brother to him. For only for his body to be mutilated by Hind afterwards. And then after some time, Wahshi hears, now the Prophet ﷺ, he's coming to Taif to conquer it. Should I now run to Basra, to Kufa, to another place? And someone said to him, Ya Wahshi, this man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's a merciful person. Go to him and seek his forgiveness and he will accept you. And so Wahshi goes all the way to Medina, knowing what he has done. And he sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet is sitting down, he looks up at him and he says, Anta Wahshi, are you Wahshi? He says, yes, I am Wahshi. He says, sit down and tell me, how did you kill my uncle? Subhanallah. Wahshi says, I told the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam everything that happened on that day. He said, I told him, I took my spear, I went to Uhud because someone had promised me my freedom, and I killed no man except for Hamza. I looked for him, and when I had sought him out, I hid behind a tree and I saw him engaging in battle, and then I saw a chink in his armor and I let my spear fly and it went through the back, came out the front, and he turned around and he dropped. And that is how he fell and died. Radiallahu ta'ala. After he finished that story, the Prophet said to him, now go and I never want to see your face ever again. Subhanallah. It's too disturbing for me to see your face knowing what you have done to the one I love. Your Islam is sound, but I never want to see you again. Can you imagine the Prophet ﷺ saying that to you? And so Wahsh, you had to live somewhere else. He went to, some say he went to Kufa, and he lived a lonely life until he heard there was a call of war. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq had become the Khalifa. There was a war going on with the apostates. There was a false prophet named Musaylim al-Kadhab. And Wahshi, he said, I took my spear once again. And I came to the battle of Yamama looking for no man's blood except for Musaylimah. And he said, I spotted him fighting with a Muslim comrade. And he said, I took my mark and I let that spear fly. And it pierced him right the way through. But I don't know whether it was a sword of my Muslim brother or it was my spear. But Musaylimah died that day because of it. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Look at that. That is not an accident. Allah the Almighty saw that Wahshi wanted to make right his wrong. He wanted to redeem himself. He wanted to show Allah that he truly is sorry for what he did. And Allah gave him that chance. And Allah gives us our chances as well. Allah the Almighty knows our past and he sees our hearts. And if you want to change, Allah will give you your chance. What do we have to do? We have to take that chance. Every day we wake up is a chance from Allah the Almighty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free our hearts of pride. And may Allah the Almighty inspire us to always turn back to Him whenever we do wrong. We ask Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Ghaffar, Ya Ghafoor, to forgive us and our children and our ummah of all of their shortcomings. O Allah, unite us upon the haqq and forgive us our sins. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم انصر إخوان المستضعفين في غزة اللهم أعز أهل غزة اللهم أعز أهل غزة اللهم انصرهم نصر عزيز مقتدر اللهم تقبل شهداهم اللهم ارحم موتاهم يا أكرم الأكرمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأقيم الصلاة